In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that long ago, but right now it seems like a lifetime. But it was just a few years ago when the world was captured by the marriage of Prince Harry to Meghan Markle, and the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, preached an incredible sermon about love. And it just seemed for a while that the world was just tuned in to this message. The message that we have been proclaiming and celebrating within the church was going out and making its way into the world. So it's particularly fitting on a day like today, being Pentecost, you know, one of the major feasts of the church year, but also it sets us up for a new liturgical season. When I look at, whenever I'm teaching and preparing somebody for baptism or reception or whatever, what have you, we'll talk about how there's, in the church year, there's these two cycles. And there's a cycle centered around Christmas and one around Easter. There's always a season of preparation, there's the great season itself, and then there's a time of that great mystery that we're celebrating, going out into the world. So when we look at the story of Pentecost, with the apostles gathered together, with this Holy Spirit coming upon them, and then preaching a message of hope and salvation, crowds gathered. They gave the message, people heard it, and people believed. One of the remarkable things is not everybody had the same reaction. Just like in today's day and age, not everybody has the same reaction when we preach the gospel or when they hear something spiritual. In the time of Pentecost, just like in today, they had to adapt the message itself for the people who were hearing it. Because there were some people who appreciated what was said. They said, wow, this is great. They were amazed. They were astonished. There were some people that were confused. They said they were amazed and they were perplexed. What does this mean? And then there are some others that were just plain cynical. Like, they've had too much wine. And so, with the apostles, particularly Peter, when he was giving his sermon, what he was able to do was adapt his message for the people that were hearing him. Some were appreciative, some were confused, and some were cynical. And yet, he was able to reach all of them. Just like the apostles were able to speak in different languages so that people could understand, the message, the way the message was proclaimed, could be adapted so that people could understand. So first off, we had those that were appreciative. It says that the people were amazed and astonished. They recognized that good things were happening. Now, just like today, we'll have people that recognize good things are happening, and they might need a little encouragement. In the story of Pentecost, what happened there was people were speaking in tongues, the disciples. And so they were just astonished, saying, like, why are we hearing all of these different languages? They knew something special was happening right then and there. So it had their attention, and then they were given an invitation. So today, perhaps we don't have the same kind of miraculous speaking in tongues, although in some cases it does happen. But what we do have are good ministries happening that make an impact on the world. You know, as we are finding our way out of this pandemic, we are looking at ways of being able to do ministries and do outreaches like we've done before. We've always had our food pantry open and been feeding a lot of people that have really needed it. So there's something good that's happening. The love of God is going out into the world. You know, we're also looking at ways of reopening things, like having an event in the coming fall, just when people are a little bit, to say when we're ready, you know, to invite our neighbors back and to be able to have something where we can have some fellowship together and just some time to share the good news with one another. The idea for those who are appreciative is to give them a taste of something good that is happening. Remember when I was a boy and I good is happening here. I didn't have to actually see the brownies, but it was enough to get my attention. And I knew that as we played, a little while later, we'd be invited into the kitchen and be brownies or be milk. And over a five-year-old, there wasn't one. Things didn't get much better than that. The further the ones who are appreciative in our midst, those who come to some of our outreach events, our Christian formation events, be it a trunk or treat, or an Easter egg hunt, or a vacation Bible school, and we're able to do that again, you know, they know something good is happening here. And maybe they could use a little more encouragement as well. Just offer them an invitation to come to, say, Easter, or come to a Christmas service. The idea is to offer something that is appropriate for their situation. The kind of appreciation that they already have, and say, well, maybe you'd like to do this as well. Because the gospel is for those that appreciate as well. But not everybody is appreciative, are they? No. It's fine. No, not everyone is there. There are some that are confused. They don't know what's going on. And the gospel is for them also. There are some people who said they were amazed and astonished, and there are others that were amazed and perplexed, saying, what does this mean? They were perplexed. They were confused. They're saying, I don't quite understand what is happening here. Just like in today's day and age, there are people who maybe recognize that something is missing from their lives. They can't quite put their finger on it. They're lacking the larger picture. One of the things we like to do in my house with my son is we'll have a game we play called Puzzle Race. So we'll each have a puzzle and we'll see who can put the puzzle together the fastest. Now, in a few of these puzzles, we don't have the box anymore with a picture on it. And usually that's the puzzle that I'm given, which puts me at a distinct disadvantage. You know, try and put together a puzzle where you don't know what the end result looks like. Especially those Spider-Man puzzles, because they have a lot of details and you can get lost in those pieces. Maybe for many people that are confused or perplexed in this life, you know, they could use glimpse of the bigger picture, of seeing what is going on. In the story from Acts, the story from Pentecost, what Peter was able to do was provide some context for what they were experiencing. They heard people speaking in all these different languages, and he said, men of Judea and all Jerusalem, Jerusalem and all Judea. Now this is what happened in what the prophet Joel was prophesying about. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So what was he telling him there? He was telling them that these were the last days when God was putting his spirit upon all flesh. The old men would dream dreams, the young men would see visions, that people would be prophesying in the name of the Lord. He provided a larger context for their confusion. For those of us in our midst who may be confused, who recognize that something is missing and they can't quite put their finger on it. You know, these are the ones that could be appropriate and helpful to share something meaningful for them. Whether it's something like when we started doing the daily office online in church and hearing from parishioners how much they appreciated it, how in the early days of the pandemic when we weren't sure what was going on, that having daily prayer that they could go to was a source of comfort. Or perhaps it could be something like, what happens when you come to Eucharist just yourself? You come in and you're receiving the body and blood of Christ, and how does that make you feel? Just sharing from your own experience, giving somebody a bit of a larger picture, some context for their experience. Well, but not everybody is confused either, just like not everybody is appreciative. There are some who are cynical, you know, and the gospel is for the cynics as well. Some are saying they're amazed and perplexed, saying, what does this all mean that an axe here. They heard the voices, they heard people giving the message in different languages. And some sneered and said, they have had too much wine. Now, how do we know that this is a cynical statement? Well, for one, I can say is, I don't know about you, but I think for a lot of people that I know, if you have had too much wine, your ability to speak a foreign language decreases.
Yeah,
it's hard. When people have too much to drink, they aren't able to communicate. And what we were seeing in this message, or in the story from Pentecost, was that their ability to communicate actually increased. The disciples were speaking in different languages, and everyone was hearing it in their native tongue. But some couldn't accept that, so they had to give some other explanation that was wrong, and that was cynical. Oh, they just had too much wine. They had too much to drink. Now, sadly, there are people who think that religion is bad, or they think that it's irrelevant. You know, sadly, sometimes people might misrepresent, just from very limited knowledge, what they see. Years ago, I was reading a book about the emergent church and how they had done studies on what non-believers thought of Christians, and some of the words that kept popping up in these interviews were judgmental and hypocrites. And that just made me feel so sad. I don't think that's true. I don't think Christians are judgmental or hypocrites, certainly not within our tradition. You know, we try to be genuine and we try to be caring and loving as Jesus taught us. But if somebody has that impression of us, it's just very sad. The thing to do in these situations is not to meet them head on, because that hardly ever works, but to provide an alternative experience. I heard a story many, many years ago. This happened actually in 1965. There was a National Football League player, a professional football player named Jim Marshall, and he was a defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. And this story that has kind of gone down in the history books is kind of one of those oopsies. He was playing, he was on the defense, the other team had fumbled the ball, and he picked it up and started running, doing just what he was supposed to do. He took the ball down, put his shoulders forward, went as far as he could, got into the end zone, and threw the ball out of bounds. He had run the wrong way. So he actually scored points for the other team. Now, if you can imagine in that moment, and I'm sure people are shouting to him, "You're going the wrong way!" And he was so caught up in that moment, he wasn't able to hear it. So if meeting somebody head on, or just telling them they're wrong, doesn't really work, what can be helpful is providing an alternative experience. Staying connected to people in such a way that their experience contradicts this idea that they might have in their head. Peter started off by making connection with even the cynics in his group. Yes, some were saying, "Oh, they've had too much wine." And Peter started off by saying, "Men of Jerusalem and all Judea, listen to me." He's saying, he's making connection. He's in a sense referring to them as beloved brothers. Providing a context, giving them an alternative experience that contradicted what they were doing. So within, yes, there are cynics within our own midst, but it's important for them to stay connected, to be kind, to pray for them. And in doing so, perhaps some kind of experience is enough disrupt that cynicism. We had a great miracle happen the day of Pentecost. Yes, there was the speaking of tongues, but that was also a way of seeing that the apostles were able to speak to people, speak to the needs of very different people. For those who were appreciative, they were able to offer encouragement. For those who were confused, they were able to offer a larger picture, a spiritual sense of what was going on. And to those who were cynical, they were able to offer some connection and experience. Probably we'll run into all of our lives some similar people. We'll run into appreciative and confused and cynical people. And that's okay, because the gospel is for them as well. The gospel is for them because some are going to need to be encouraged. There are some who are going to need a bigger picture. Some who are just going to need connection and experience. We don't need to be able to speak in tongues, different languages, to make these great miracles. No, but through our efforts, through following the teachings of Jesus, and through connecting, encouraging, giving, providing context to people, we are sowing seeds. We are able to share the message and share the gospel, because the gospel is for all of them as well. Amen.